Previously on D&D&D.
Zabbis, you can hear Marta in your head, think about how she's not done yet. You see those images again of the battlefield, of the war that she was in, and you feel her thoughts about how...
We have a ball pit.
Yeah, like, but Alaric...
Dude, he's tired.
Having
now stepped through the Aurora and having completed his invention and seen it work as it's supposed to.
Oh.
Margarine, you look over at the hand that you're, it's being pulled up and you're, it's kind of pulling you up with it or pulling your arm up, back up with it. And you look up and you see his like zombie body and his like gross matted gray hair, like all floating high above the sky. You guys are kind of flying. It's really pretty.
It's pretty cool.
You see his spirit separate from that zombie body. And his spirit continues to float upward.
Uh-oh.
And you see his spirit join into a huge, beautiful aurora.
Whoa.
And we're stuck and with then, a corpse?
No, then we just have a pile of bones.
Oh, shit.
And then you guys tumble through into the room beyond the teleporting aurora. And the zombie corpse is there. But Orlaric, the personality that you've been speaking to, is not anymore, and there's just kind of like a...
Uh-oh.
And let's roll for initiative.
Oh, man, I was going to close its eyes.
Oh! You still do.
I close its eyes.
So you tumble into this room after experiencing that moment in the skies and watching as the soul of the spirit of Alaric Starsmith ascended to join the true Aurora. You pass through the fake one, the artificial one, into this other room that you saw before it. It is now completely corporeal. It is real. It is this well-furnished room. With this hamper, this rack of clothing, this table of masks, you now see that there's also on one of the walls opposite you, after you've come in, you can still see the shimmering aurora as the oscillating mechanical robot arm is still pumping the pump. But you also see that the aurora is covering up a kind of homeland board of plans. Of some kind, connected with strings and papers tacked up, and it's one of those that the aurora is obstructing by its shimmering glow.
That's in this room?
That's in this room. There's the door also leading out of it. You can hear that there's activity on the other side of this door. From the sound of it, a lot of activity. People moving back and forth in a hallway, presumably, or whatever is beyond this door. There's voices shouting, and there's even in the distance you can hear maybe what sounds like a music or horns or a fanfare of some kind. However, the pressing issue at the moment is the zombie formerly known as Alaric Starsmith, who is going to attack Margarine, who he was closest to, was holding his hand. He's going to yank on the hand that you were holding and like pull you close to it and try to stab his skeletal fingers into your face.
Oh.
What face? Wow. What face?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
The mask face. which it just kind of knocks out of the grip of your mage hand.
Oh, God.
And the mask goes skittering across the floor opposite you. An interesting use of his Nat 20 first initiative roll. Flack, it's
fucking
your turn.
Dummy.
I'm like very offended.
I have a question that I don't know if you'll be allowed to answer for me.
Okay.
Would necrotic damage hurt this feller?
I don't think they're immune to necrotic damage.
I feel like it would heal him.
I don't, right? That's not how that works.
Okay, boys.
Apparently, you have not played Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think that
or
happens.
10. 10.
It happens in 10.
Yeah, with the soldiers at the end of the game. Yeah, yeah.
No, they are not immune to necrotic damage as far as you know.
Okay. Can you put a phoenix down, cast a phoenix down on them, and they'll die?
Well, we should cast a phoenix down on Margarine. Or not Margarine, Marta, sorry. We should stop talking about this.
Listen, I haven't done this yet. I'm going to go with one of my new 7th level spells.
So, we're strong.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to cast Finger of Death.
Oh.
Target must make a constitution saving throw.
Okay. That's a 2 minus 2, 0.
Oh.
On a failed throw, it takes 7d8 plus 30 necrotic damage.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Are you going to one-shot this zombie body?
I mean... Don't roll 7 ones.
7d8, okay. All right, let me see here. Got a...
7d8.
You should be able to just click the damage roll on the spell.
Oh, really? Oh, you're right. Oh, wow. There they go.
It lagged your computer.
I did 70 damage.
Oh, okay.
My God.
The Finger of Death, as you cast it, you... you don't have your uke with you, so you'll have to like kind of like sing a little song or something, like hit a note. A spectral finger comes out from your hand as you point towards this. Is it a touch spell or is it pointing?
I send negative energy coursing through a creature,
yes,
causing it searing pain.
This thing punches my face off. And then right from behind, like, the face disappears and reveals Flag.
And as this comes forth, Margarine, you see that the form that this negative energy takes looks almost
serpentine?
Like a dragon. Yeah, serpentine.
Yo.
As it goes into the zombie, and it just starts to vibrate with this negative energy. It starts to scream, it makes it lets out this horrible, loud, unhuman scream of pain.
A window close by?
There's not a window in this room. Windowless room, just a door.
Okay, never mind.
And it collapses into...
Nope.
What? Does it disintegrate?
A humanoid killed by this spell... rises at the start of my next turn as a zombie that is permanently under my control,
following my
verbal orders to the best of its abilities.
Whoa.
I've got a motherfucking zombie.
Whoa.
Wow. I want to make sure that this, you can...
It's like, no.
It's a humanoid.
It is a humanoid.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we had a whole ass conversation with him.
Yeah. How do we get his spirit back?
I got a fucking... refried zombie.
a twice baked zombie.
Yeah, twice baked zombie, baby.
This is fucked up.
I've been waiting to have a little zombie friend this whole time, and all I need to do is take a little nap, and I can make another one.
Where does that end?
Yeah. We'll find out.
He said permanently.
Permanently.
Do you hear how loud he...
Well, like his spirit is, he's good. So this is just a spiritless corpse. Like he's just.
Yeah, I'm not saying that like it's
how's
bad.
How's it fucked up?
Our feelings about it.
Technically.
Yeah.
A humanoid and undead are different for going rules as written, which we never.
Oh, shit.
Which we never have on this show. And this is very fun. And hilarious, so I'm going to allow it.
Yay!
Nice. Thank you, Gressel.
Thank you.
Zolstar!
But it still did scream with pain.
Okay.
Then it collapses, and you see a curse of some kind, a magical entity leave this thing.
Okay.
And then a purple music note replaces it.
Ooh.
And it rises once again.
It rises just like in the Thriller video.
Yeah, right.
And you now are controlling this zombie. There's a knock at the door.
Yep, there is.
And you hear a voice say in Dwarvish, does anybody speak? Did you take Dwarvish? Somebody did. Maybe not.
One moment. Don't move forward without...
On your character sheet, I think it's on the lower left.
I do speak Dwarvish and Elvish.
Oh, great. Wow. Perfect. You understand that this is a knock on the door. It's a very casual knock. And the voice says, 5 minutes.
Wait,
and then
what?
And then that's it.
After the scream?
Yeah.
They don't know what it is. Yeah, so, okay.
Do Fletch say in Dwarvish? Yep. right. Okay, you are in this room now, and the zombie is now under your command. James is so excited.
Marjorie 5 minutes to what?
Starts rummaging through the cloaks. We wanted to disguise ourselves as cult members.
Yeah. Everyone get masks. How many masks are there?
You look through the hamper.
Okay.
And you find that there are three discarded rough spun cloaks as well as the shitty wooden masks on the table.
There are other masks,
yes,
right?
Yes, there is a table that has other masks. There's a selection of them, and you roll investigation someone.
Me, because I need a new mask.
We all need masks.
Yeah, Zalstar needs a mask,
too. But mine was my actual face. 26.
Wow. 26, you can tell that there are some missing.
Whoa.
There were more here, and there are three that are missing.
Are they all the same mask?
No, they're all different. They all seem to depict, like how Fletch, you saw when you were up at the weather experiment, you saw that the masks that those, you know, particular professors, experimenters, whatever, cult members, whoever they were, they were wearing very ornate masks. These look more reminiscent of those.
Mm.
They share qualities in their imagery that suggests metallurgy, forging, digging, mining, things like that. There is also a rack of fine clothes, all dwarf-sized, that you see. And again, Marjorie, with that 26 investigation roll, you can tell that there are three empty hooks. There is also the homeland board that is behind the waving aurora, which is starting to sputter.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's no one operating that thing.
You have just your mechanical arm that is operating it, and it is missing some gears that are in Martrin's pocket.
I just rolled a 21 investigation to look at the homeland board to see if I can understand what the fuck is trying to do.
There's schedules for the expo and the order of events. There's lines that are pinned to connect different presentations from the expo with what looks to be like a list of dwarven names. There are like groups that are going to like different events and different presentations that are from like one column and then into another. There's in the center of this, there's a it looks to be like a painting or a sketch of a elaborate doorway of some kind. There's a huge it's a big like poster size picture, and it's depicting this very elaborate door that has things carved in it. Marjorie, you can see that the lettering that is carved on this depiction of this door matches the ancient form of old people language that you've been seeing in other places around Didredon. You also see on this board that there are plans. There are like schematics and blueprints for what looks to be a very large battering ram of some kind.
Mm.
And that is mostly what you find. You also, with that good of a roll, you can see that there's a smear on the wall, on the floor leading up to this wall where the aurora came through, that looks like dried blood.
First things first, Marjorie is going to dress up the zombie. But I don't know if I should dress him up as a
royalty?
Or low.
Ooh.
Well, here's hey, Zalstar, can you talk?
Yeah, I think
sounds like a royal to me.
And as we all laugh, we dress him up fancy.
Yeah, he's getting all fancy.
I was gonna say, Because we have a mechanical arm that's kind of manning this bridge, I think we left the door open, so any of the dwarves that could walk by the room that has the sun,
they're going to
see it open and not see All-Star there.
So do you want to go back?
No, I'm thinking we undress this zombie and make him go back through the door.
No, we'll send an Unseen Servant. It's fine. I cast Unseen Servant.
Okay.
What? To, like, shut the
door.
To
go through the Aurora and then to go close the door.
Is that 60 feet? Oh, man.
Let's find out.
We're never going to know what that green mist was in that other room.
Gressel will tell us years down the line.
Yeah.
Here, Unseen Servant, I'm casting you. Walk through this Aurora. When you get through, first, I want you to throw a rock in the air in a place where we can see it. And then after you're done with that, go down those stairs. Or no, you wouldn't
what?
Be up there. We wouldn't be on
door.
Top of the thing. Yeah, just go close the door. But first.
And put a chair in front of the door so they can't get.
Put a chair in front of the door.
And
so
then
so
lock it.
And then lock. Well, lock it and then put a chair.
And then in front. Put a chair.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We have established previously that these are not the most intelligent of creatures. So, it does its best to follow your instructions. It passes through the Aurora. You wait for a moment in anticipation of looking for a rock to fly up in the air where you can see it. And after a moment...
Oh, that's... Because I forgot he's invisible.
Yes.
To make sure he... Okay.
He made
it
through.
I was like, what are you doing? Yeah. You're just power tripping and making him do random shit.
Juggle. Four rocks.
A rock, you see, does, as... You have there is a condensing of space due to this magic, and you are not more than 60 feet.
Okay, yeah,
from the servant.
Cool.
So you see the rock fly up.
Nice.
The next instruction was to go and close the door. Confusingly
yes.
said between you and Fletch.
Oh man.
No.
There is a you wait. Nothing happens for a moment, and then the Aurora disappears.
Yep. That's why I said we should have put the fucking zombie back through the...
Like he'd be much better.
He's done the job for 1,000 years.
No, that guy's gone. His soul went up into space.
No, but I think it was just his kind of body doing it.
Oh my.
No, I don't buy that.
All right, well
hey,
now we're here.
Hey, Star, you ever pull a lever in your life? See, never done it.
I don't trust this. All right, I guess now we have to dress everybody up and do this thing, and we'll never...
We were always going to dress everybody up, friend.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
As I put a mask on his frowny face.
My eyes are closed. It's a frowny mask.
Yeah. No, it's a smile. It's a happy mask.
Yeah, happy mask.
Yeah, way funnier.
It's like in Amadeus. Do you remember where he's like at the party and he's wearing the smile? It's his dad and he like pulls the mask down and he's all pissed off.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the funniest moments
of
the
movie. It's so good.
The instruction was to close the door. He closed the door. The door that you came through was the door that he closed.
How would he know that?
He fucking
idiot.
Know that's a door. What a fucking.
You are now in this room.
Do we?
You
have...
can now get a clearer look at all of the the homeland boarding. And Zabbis,
sure.
You can read all writing.
Yeah, but does it mean anything?
Wait, yeah. Okay. Am I dumb? What the fuck is a homeland borg?
Homeland
borg. Like on
the show Homeland.
Yeah,
it's like the crazy conspiracy board.
It's Charlie from It's Always Sunny. Yeah. With like the yarn.
With the yarn connecting a bunch
of things.
There
was a bit more of a monoculture back then, and so I feel like.
I legitimately thought it was a fake word that Gressel made up, a homeland borg. And that we were all, everybody knew about it.
It was a plus Namzerid situation. Homlingbord.
Yes. Homlingbord.
And I was like, oh, wow, cool. That sounds like a thing you serve
Haas.
Cheese on.
No, homeland board.
Gotcha.
Yes, like Charlie Day as well. In Always Sunny in the meme.
Sick.
It was, everybody knew what it was in 2012
it's so
or
weird.
Whatever
the
that was.
The monoculture's dead.
Yeah.
It's thank you.
Dead, dude.
Thank you for helping me.
Yes. So that's what it is. And now you have a clearer picture of it, and Zabbis can read all writing, and Zabbis can see that
So is this an office, or is this like another kind of dress up break room.
We're in a dressing room.
Yeah.
Because why are we getting a little tap on the door like 5 minutes?
Yeah, and all these masks and stuff.
We're in one of those skits before an episode of All That. Yeah. Where the stage manager.
5 minutes. Kevin, get out of here.
Down there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, escargot.
And you, oh my God, still doing sketch comedy.
Yep.
He's a lifer.
He's a god.
And you seem to be in some sort of, like dressing room of some kind. You, Zabbis, can read all of this writing and you can see that there is a direct line, like a yarn line from the big blueprint of this like battering ram and this door to the itinerary of the expo that leads to the heavy metal exposition. And there's details about how the goal is to infiltrate the heavy metal exposition in order to obtain the heaviest metal to use to build the battering ram so that they can break down the door of Didridon. Ooh,
that's a good plan.
Okay.
That's real good.
They cannot access.
The door of Didridon. What's that?
What's the door of Didridon?
This is new information.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, you guys have not yet heard about this, except for some sort of, there was a vague mention of it when you were talking to Alaric just moments ago.
So it's like where everyone thinks the dragon might be, but like no one can get.
Yeah, probably.
No one can open the door.
Okay.
Yes.
I bet it's some.
Oh, and there was a picture of like a portal-y looking circle door.
Did
dragon
it look like the door that Fletch saw in the hallway or no?
No, different door. Not that, no, that door, that door was just a portcullis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So before we go out there, I would recommend one of you giving me your makeover. Rings of secrecy. Not a makeover. I look beautiful. Thank you, though. But
that was Marta.
Thanks, Marta. Don't need one.
I say that I need mine because I can't talk. Otherwise, people will know that
pants.
I have
still
special
pants.
Blood.
Okay.
And I feel like
the look Mike gave me was so funny. He's like, oh, no.
I feel like we've developed a real nice rapport on these secret rings, mm-hmm. Marjorie. Yeah. You know, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
So. And Marta part of secret rings? How does that work?
Ooh.
Lots of complicated things introduced with.
Can Marta always hear secret rings?
But like, since she's in my body.
Yeah.
How does that
Marta communicate
Marta
telepathically? I've never really had to think this much about what Marta's abilities are.
Right.
Other
well,
than
it's
like
just
be a ghost, have ghost sword.
Yeah. Well, because she's like in my body.
Right.
So it's like.
You and Marta can communicate with each other.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Can Marta communicate telepathically with others, or could she otherwise reach out? You know what? Touch someone.
Poke Flack.
When you poke Flack, you feel a like sudden like presence invade you momentarily, and like as you touch, you can use Marta to communicate telepathically, but only via touch.
Wait! Oh my God! If I'm touching anyone, I can communicate with them. Telepathically.
So far it works with Flack.
Can they talk back?
Yeah, wait, okay, grab onto his arm.
Wow, that's a strong grip there, Marta, I think.
You think. What is the emotion that you're conveying with that statement?
Admiration.
That's what you feel.
Okay, but not like a specific
sentence.
Not
those words.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. Trying not to make this too OP, I see.
Well, so
playing a lot of Calvin Ball today, yeah. With Marbus.
Since Marbus can do that kind of weird thing, they just did to me. Let's give Marbus's ring.
Okay, cool.
If that's cool with you, Marbus.
Is that okay, Marbus?
Yeah,
I'm doing it so that we can all. Okay. I can speak to everybody because I can understand Dwarvish.
Marta says yes. Zabbis says no.
Yeah. Wait, because now I can only understand like general
emotion and vibes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll see.
I mean, I couldn't understand anything.
That's fair.
So
that's fair.
I just got to look at you guys, looking at each other a bunch, and I just was standing there
like
a fool.
From that.
Yes. Okay. Are we all dressed up? We all got our masks?
Yep.
Well, we have to make decisions about what class each of us are, because we're...
Oh, yeah.
We've only got two...
All right, guys, it's makeover time.
How about me and Zalstar be the fancy ones?
Okay, so we have one fancy one left, and then we have three stinkies.
It's really hard for me to let you be a fancy one, but I'll let you be a fancy one.
I feel like I'm closest to dwarf size, right?
Yes.
That's true.
I think then
Zalstar is a dwarf.
I should also be a fancy one, so I can be his translator.
Ooh, that's not
How
bad.
Many fancy masks are there?
There's just the three.
Just the three.
There's three. Okay.
And we're wasting one on a zombie.
Well, why would you make the zombie? Why wouldn't he have
funny.
Like?
It's pretty funny.
Because he speaks funny. Like a rich man.
He could be like your dad.
Oh, okay. I heard
you know,
that.
Yeah. Like it's your dad. And you're just
my infirm dad.
You're waiting for him to die so you can inherit.
Ooh, I like that. I'll take that.
You know? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's wise Fudge.
I was just going to say, I'll be like an asshole prince, because those are very common around here.
And I guess we're in need of a new one. And it makes sense, Fletch, for you to be a fancy boy, because you spent time with the fancy boys, and you could maybe have a cover story. You got indoctrinated into the fancy boy cult.
Right, exactly. I might have to do the voice again. We'll see. I'll play that by ear.
Okay, Zabbis, here's...
Are we normals?
We're normies. Here are two cloaks that I sewed together for your body horns and a wood mask. And
it's like the robe, but it only comes down to like my knees because it's short. And then just like a strip of other fabric just sewn around the bottom. Yeah. So it's long
like
enough.
Opened up with armholes still there.
Well, I look at Zabbis's and I'm like, oh, I look down and my knees are showing.
Your belly button's out.
God. If we have no more fabric, I have to go like this.
Yeah. I could probably, I have like a cloak. It's like my cloak of many things, which I don't even know what the fuck is left on that thing.
I have that.
Patches.
It's just like a, I think we used the ladder. It's a bunch of random stuff that at this point.
That is somewhere.
But if you want to use that, maybe?
Does the cloak of many things look like the robes? Or would it make me stand out like a
sore
thumb?
On the robe of useful items, you still have a window, two dogs, gems, a haste spell scroll, a mage armor spell scroll, a bag of gold, more gems, another pit, another ladder, a bundle of potions, a battery.
We've had potions?
We've always had potions.
I have not had potions.
A portable battering ram.
Oh.
We can just go to the door. Right now, yeah.
Yeah, we've got the heavy thing.
You've used the rowboat. You know what? I will also make a rule here and now that if you want to pitch a fun, mundane item in the interest of do what's fun in a certain situation, I will make a ruling in that instance of if it is on... the rope.
Oh. We have a battering ram and the heaviest
a small
rock.
Portable.
I feel ram. Like there were two battering because I feel like we used.
You might have used one
I
at
think
one.
We
point.
Might have used one.
Well, there's another one.
Well, if we have another one, we could just find out the location of this door and beat everybody to it
before
Ooh.
The event.
Before the event.
I know we really wanted to go to the heavy rock event.
I fucking wanted to do the heavy metal event for sure.
But that means going back. To the convention where we started.
There's another knock at the door. 2 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, what is... So, like, who do they think we are? And where are the people? Who are they?
We got some outstanding
the break
questions.
Room
yes, there's some mysteries afoot. Because, like, who were supposed to be in here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And where did they go?
Mm-hmm. Was it the people in the break room?
I don't think so. Because they wouldn't...
Are they
in the
still
break
here?
Room.
It was broken.
Wait.
No, that's broken. The thing was broken.
Are there like lockers that, you know, people who are running away from video game scary characters would hide in this break room?
Are there lockers?
I want to search the room to see if someone is hiding here. Because like there was an aurora projected into this room for a long time before we actually got in here.
So they might have seen it and then
That's what I'm thinking.
I feel you.
Because yeah, I want to search the room.
Okay.
There should be people in here.
Roll investigation.
It's a 8 plus 7, 15.
You're looking around. You're looking for like hidden doors.
Yeah, Marjorie's using her little slappy hands against things to see if they're hollow, to see if there's spaces to hide under the bed. You know, like, oh, someone's coming over and I was making out with my boyfriend and I got to hide under the bed because his mom doesn't like me situation.
One of the posters for the expo, you push through.
Oh, bingo.
Whoa. What's this?
What it?
And I rip it down.
It's another hidden passageway like the one you found in the palace.
Sick. Oh,
Shawshank this.
Uh-huh.
I go through it, I think. Yeah, that's what Pants does.
Can we all fit?
Yeah, it's you, you, Zabbis, and Fletch will have to crouch, but you can all, like before, but you can all definitely fit.
Are we all going to go?
Someone cover it up after we all get in.
No, you're coming with me. I got another fucking unseen servant unseen slot. That's my last one. I cast it.
Okay. The unseen servant covers up the hole with a poster.
What's
successfully.
The poster?
It's another like visit the Didrodon Expo poster.
So like, were we getting? Was the dressing room for like a speaker or something at this expo?
As you, as you walk into the tunnel. And the poster, the...
Oh, we can walk.
You kind of have to crouch
okay,
and crawl.
Okay, no, I just, yeah, I wasn't sure how big it was.
It's not hands and knees.
And the, no, not for Fleck and Marjorie. It's almost
and
hands and knees. And
Zolstar.
And the zombie and
okay,
Zolstar.
Yeah. Thank you.
And once the unseen servant reaffixes the poster, the door opens in the room that you were just in. And you hear a voice in Dwarvish, Fletch, say... Professor, they're ready for you. For your presentation for heavy metals. Mining professor. Hello? Hello?
I'm in the bathroom.
Dude!
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh my god.
Sorry, then, I heard it and I had to answer because I'm just used to
and then the
secret rings and we go.
Hey everybody, Grussel here with a few quick announcements, then we're going to get you right back to it. Thanks so much for listening to episode 160 of D&D&D. Be sure to follow us on social media at D&D&DPod on Twitter and D&D&DPod on Instagram. We have a subreddit, reddit.com/r/D&D&DPod. I hope everyone had a wonderful holiday. Thanks for bearing with us as we took a week off here, but we're back to finish up this session with the team. Next week will be a Tim story, so we bumped a week from what I said last time for the holidays. Sorry about that. Holiday travel and whatnot. We're now going to be good. So finish this week, this session, next week, Tim story, and then we're back at it, and we should be good for a while. So the reason we have a Tim story next week is because Beth, and I believe Mike, will be at Anime Los Angeles this weekend, January 5th through 8th, at the Long Beach Convention Center. So go check out Beth if you are going to Anime Los Angeles, the anime festival down there, convention, festival. I got fantasy on the mind. The anime convention down at the Long Beach Convention Center this weekend. If you're listening to this, the week it came out, January 5th through 8th, 2023. Can you believe it? Go say hi to Beth and Mike and buy some of Beth's artwork that will be available for sale there in Artist Alley at the Anime Los Angeles Convention. Thanks to all of our patrons who support us over at patreon.com/dndndpod. Patrons, you will be getting patrons who support us at the level that gets them a quarterly t-shirt. We'll be getting your shirt soon for the December shirt. It's the long sleeve tee with cookies, sugar cookies with faces for all of our main characters as their decoration. It's a great shirt from Beth. And speaking of
her artwork, and you patrons will be getting it very shortly. So thanks for supporting us. And if you want to support us, go check us out, patreon.com/dndndpod. And we will have some fun things this year for patrons. I'm not going to get into it now, but soon there will be some new things coming. All right, that's it for me. Thank you so much for listening to the show. And we'll get back to this a little shorter episode, but it's a funny one. And then we will get to the rest of the story here in the new year. Exciting. So happy new year, everybody. Thanks for listening and do what's fun.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We had a fucking such a clean getaway.
Getaway to what? You guys wanted to go there, and now
is
all of a sudden you want to go back down.
Still a thing?
Yes.
You want to go back down underground to where we just were?
I don't want to give a presentation, Secret Rings.
Yeah, dude, I didn't prepare or anything.
You guys are the very confusing.
You guys retreat further into the little hole that you guys are in, the little tunnel, to try to get away from this door. Or get away from the voice that Fletch just responded to. You get to a dead end where you find the bodies of three dwarves.
Oh, no.
Oh, but fancy clothes.
They are in fancy clothes.
Okay, you guys can swap out.
Fancy clothes.
All right, so now we're all fancy?
They have fancy masks on?
They
just fancy?
They did not. They did not have
they're
fancy
just in,
masks on.
So there's no way I can fit in those.
They were just dead.
It's not like a cloak.
Wait, then these are not the people. Whoa.
So what the fuck?
So these guys didn't take the three masks that were missing. By the way, there were three masks missing and three sets of fancy clothes missing. And these guys have fancy clothes, but
these
no masks.
Clothes are bloody, having stab wounds.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to wear this, actually. Mm-hmm. I'll go back to being
a
pleb.
That means that three cult members are currently sneaking around as
cult members,
guys.
Oh.
As like convention goers.
But he said the professor. And isn't the professor associated with the cult?
Yes.
What's going on?
I don't know.
Huh?
There's the professor.
There are other professors.
And then there are other, like, there's capital T, the professor that is rumored to be in charge.
Yeah.
And then there's just...
We haven't met him.
We have not met him. That is a mysterious, shadowy figure. And then there is...
All right, well, I was in my own head thinking about the professor and that he was in that room. And so I got squirreled in my brain. Anyway, uh-oh.
So we got to go back upstairs.
Nowhere else to go.
Yep.
You hear the door close.
Okay, like what?
Wait, I'm going to do an investigation roll to make sure that there aren't any other ways.
I was thinking that too, like secret ways out of here.
Yeah. 25.
You can't find any other way in or out of this room now that the Aurora is closed.
It's just a literal dead end?
It's a dead end that is where they hid the bodies.
Oh. Okay.
They would have had to dig really fast. Who can
dig? They're fucking dwarves.
They're dwarves.
This could have been here for years, you know?
Every room has a hole.
Yeah.
A body
hole. Throw your garbage in it, yeah.
Or is a stinky hole. Is a stink hole.
Ugh. All right, well, let's go back through the poster to get back into the room.
whoever had entered looking for you seems to have been gone.
Yeah. Okay, so if I guess I was in the back because I heard the voice. I'll go back through first.
Okay, there's nobody in the room.
Okay. Did they leave anything?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. There is a, on the table next to the masks, you see that there is like a badge, like one of your event badges that you had earlier. There's three of them. And you also see, quickly as you look back, the conspiracy board, which I will call it now instead of Homeland Board for those of us who are not watching Showtime in 2011.
Homeland Board.
Briefly looked like a large, like a chalkboard with drawings of like metal and like formulas and stuff on it. There's like a shimmer of a illusion that goes away as the door closed as this guy was leaving. So that there was an illusion covering it. So you get the sense that the guy who came in looking for you, the stage manager, did not see the conspiracy board.
Oh.
Crazy. Margarine was the first in the hole and technically the last out of the hole.
Sure.
When we investigated and saw the bloody clothes bodies, when Margarine was trying to see if like she wanted to wear the clothes, she also went through them.
Mm-hmm.
Did she find any identifying badges or things in the pockets, like who are these people?
You found festival badges. They were members of a team that was specializing in alloys. They had like, you know, badges that were like, you know, name alloy specialist. The names are not important.
All right, I'm gonna grab those anyway.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Are we putting the pieces together? Do we know what's going on here?
No, because I don't understand. Okay, can I investigate to see, like, can I tell if they were murdered in this dressing room?
There is blood on the wall.
Yes.
Okay.
There was blood. You did see that there was some blood on the floor.
That's right.
And they were dragged that way. And it, you definitely get the sense that they were murdered in this room. The let's say that Marta, there's some soldier experience that you get from Marta here.
Mm-hmm.
And Marta is able to communicate to you that her theory is that cultists teleported into this room, killed the people who were here, hid their bodies, and stole their identities.
Okay. Then why did that guy bring badges back?
These, looking at the badges, these are specific to the event. They are specific to the Heavy Metal Exposition, and they are all access backstage passes. They're more than just the identifying badges that were with the, yeah.
Hmm. How many of them are there, you said?
Three.
Hmm.
I'm pants.
Sorry, James just looked at me. Okay. I'm sorry, we're a little bit scatterbrained looking at all these things. Margarine wants to go to the conspiracy board.
Okay.
And take a closer look at that Diddy-Redon door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because she recognizes that it's Dragonspeak.
Yep.
And wants to read it better, or at the very least, see if there's anything that she can kind of decode between. And she pulls out the etching that she took from the throne room
mm-hmm.
to see if there are like,
yeah, those symbols match, a lot of them. There are entire sequences of symbols that match from these two things.
I wish I could read the language I know.
It's not necessarily writing, because if it was writing, Zabas would be able to read it. Yeah, it's a kind of almost, I guess, an artistic expression of words is what writing is. It's something else than, it's something more than that. It's something
fundamental.
Yeah, it doesn't communicate specifics that same way. It's something that's more primal.
You as you study it further, you get a deeper, you feel a kind of deepness. And you feel a kind of almost like you start kind of drip a little bit mentally, like you almost kind of start to feel like a lift, like a weight lifting off of you, almost like you almost start to relax. You almost start to like not really care as much about what else is happening. You start to kind of accept things as, yeah, and as okay, and as, you know. There's an almost like giving over of yourself feeling as you continue to read these closer and stare at them closer.
Is it the same kind of feeling that All-Star would have had in the trip through the Aurora?
You kind of get that sense that it is that almost kind of like uplifting pull. Like you do start to kind of feel yourself separate from your body a little bit. Not so much that the rest of you really notice this, but the rest of you see Margarine is staring at this door and is zoning out.
I mean, Didgeridon is like the death dragon, so.
I go up to Margarine and I put my hand on her shoulder. You all right?
That snaps you out of it. You're pulled back to the moment.
My mask head zips back down to my body. I think so.
Great, because we gotta get on stage, I think.
Oh, am I in a dream? Do I have pants on? I only have pants on.
Wait, why we gotta get on stage?
I'm assuming one of us is gonna have to be the professor.
A professor.
Oh, no. I look at Zavis.
Is the professor one of the dead guys, though?
Presumably, the professor... Not capital T, capital P, but the professor that the stage manager was looking for was one of the dead guys.
Yeah. So that's on whoever stole that guy's identity. That guy's got to go make a presentation now.
And I fling the alloy specialist badge at Zavis and it hooks around his horn.
All right, so I guess, Flack, you're going to be... The professor.
What? No, the badge's on Zavis.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
I can't do that again.
But you have so much experience and you're so tall and you're so impressive. And
you
now
are the
you're,
most experienced.
And now you have the history and now you're beautiful because Marta's you too.
Yeah, Marta, it's like you have two
but
in one.
But like, here's the dilemma though. I mean, we don't know where Prince Cedric is, but okay, as far as we know, there's at least one person who is pretty sure or knows that Onesimere Crammon and Bucket Baby are dead.
Yeah.
So the problem is a lot of people who saw me give a presentation saw me give it as Onesimere Crammon.
I buy that. I think Fled should be the professor.
And I take the badge off of Zabbis's. Well, I can't reach it. I throw a second badge at Fledge.
All right. You know, you asked for it.
Oh, boy.
D&D is a Moorpark Media podcast and a Spotify preferred partner. Written and edited by me, James Gressel. D&D is performed by James A. Janisse, Chelsea Rebecca, Beth Radloff, and Mike Seigen.